One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Hey, kiddos. So your mom was nice enough to let me have supervised court-mandated visits. So dad's gonna do his best, all right? Daddy's gonna do his best to see you little tots once a week, all right? You know, dad's got a lot going on. He's got court for his felony case. He's got mandatory night school. Dad's got a lot going on, okay? When I told you guys I went to the store to get a gallon of milk, I went to the store to get a gallon of milk, all right? I wasn't lying about that. But I stole it. I stole it and I got caught. And they started digging through my stuff and, you know, they just found out some stuff about me they didn't like. And next thing you know, I'm cuffed up. I'm smizing for my mugshot and then I'm in jail, you know? Granted, I did get out of jail 24 hours later, but you know, your dad was so ashamed. How was I gonna go back to my kids at that point? I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? So you understand me, I understand you. Your mother's being gracious as hell. She's giving me some time with my kids. Because you know what they say? They say, you know, a father is really important for your kids' mental health and well-being and all that. You know, I didn't have my dad around and look how I turned out. Okay? So, daddy's going to do his best to come visit you once a week. All right? Schedule's a little unpredictable. Okay? So, whether that's at the beginning of the week or the end of the week, I don't know. I don't know, kid. We're going to figure that part out. But dad's going to do his best for one day a week. All right? All right. So, I love this little thing we're doing. I'm your daddy. You love it. I'm also mommy. Like, I love it. Like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of hot. Like, what do you think? What do you think? Anyways, welcome to POV, You're My Therapist, the podcast where I vent. You listen and you don't get paid. I'm not going to hold you. One of the big reasons why I came back to the podcast was because I felt like people were really kind of trying to steal my steez a little bit, okay? You know, I took some time off. I had a baby. Now I'm back, you know? So still not back with the camera because I'm just not feeling it. I'm not feeling how I look right now, okay? I miss my old face. I miss the face that looked like I just got off the table. You know what I'm saying? So we're working on getting our old face back, all right? When we do, I'll be here. But for now, it's an intimate little gathering of friends. You know, we're right here, we're holding hands together. It's nice. It's nice, you know? Anyways, but yeah, I felt like niggas was trying to steal my steez low-key. Like, I remember the shock I felt when, and also the, hold on, before I start calling people out and saying, oh, you stole my flow. That's actually not what I'm saying at all. I think the creative language that we all speak goes through trends and cycles. Some of us arrive there a little earlier, but there are trends. And I think this year, therapist was a big trend. So I saw Jake Shane's therapist and I was like, all right, girl. T. But then at the end of the day, it's like, I can feel however I want to, but nobody's ever going to be divine. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's ever going to be divine. whether divine is on a smaller scale or on a big scale, nobody's ever going to be divine. So, you know, I took some time off. I'm slowly, surely coming back, making sure that it's what I want and what I want to do, because I am in school. I'm in school. And, you know, I want to be able to support myself in whatever aspects. And I think at the end of the day, like, it's weird because, like, I want two things, right? I want two huge things. I want a really solid career in the medical field, but I also really like social media. And the two things will never intermingle because I'm not a fucking dummy, okay? I'm not a dummy, okay? I get so fucking nervous, like, when I see somebody, like, posting stuff about being in nursing school. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want anybody to know anything about anything that I'm doing. Like, it just makes me fucking nervous. So anyways, that being said, that there will never be any behind the scenes day in the life of whatever, like maybe like a short little thing, but it's never going to give like, this is my whole identity. And if it is, you better believe that it's going to be like, I don't know, like, I don't know if y'all follow that guy. His name is Nurse John. He's really funny. But like, he never shoots in his workplace. He never talks about his patients. Like, he does everything from like a really good lens and point of view. And I like that. I like that. So if I were ever to, like, you know, kind of intermingle, it would be similar to that. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. What we're here to talk about is my week, LOL. There's actually a couple of things I want to talk about. And honestly, lately, I've been feeling crotchety. I've been feeling crotchety, like an old crotchety bitch. Like, I really have. Like, I have found myself saying, like, shit like, these young people. Like, it's because they're young. You know, it's because they're young. Like, I've caught myself saying that so many times in the last week. And I'm like, I'm turning into a geezer. But I hate to say it, but I think age really does make a difference. And especially, like, there's so much change that happens from your early 20s to your late 20s. Like, that frontal lobe be developing fast. Like, I'm around so many young people all the time. And, like, the conversations that I have with my older friends are so entertaining because, like, they're so different than the conversations I have from, like, my younger peeps, you know? Like, I had a birthday party. I recently turned 30. I turned 30 on Saturday. Yo, I don't even know how to feel about it. Like, it's actually a bit terrifying. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've got a lot of big feelings about it. And I'm actually going to talk about this first before I forget. I've got a lot of big feelings about turning 30, and it's not because I feel old or nothing, because I look like I'm fucking 19, you know what I'm saying? But my thing is like, I've always been super overachieving, you know? And I'm really in a place in my life now where I feel like I have to fully surrender to my life. Like, I have to fully surrender. Like, this last year has been like such a roller coaster ride. Like, I was talking to my friend about it, and he's my friend from, like, art school and, like, one of my film friends, and we were talking about it, and we were talking about how, you know, a summer ago, I was calling him crying on the phone because I was just so frustrated with my life, and I didn't know where my life was going, and I just felt so fucking lost, and, like, I owe so much to him. I owe so much to him because, like, to me, this is, like, I don't know, like, this really changed the trajectory of my life. Like, his kindness and his willingness to help me low-key changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I just needed some time away and some time alone and to think clearly, and he really gave me that, and I'm so thankful for that because I spent a month at his place, like, watching his dogs and stuff. And by the end of it, I was like, I'm going back to school. I'm going back to school. And I know what I'm going back to school for. This is what I'm going back to school for. And, like, there's still some things I'm trying to iron out, like, you know, just within myself and, like, looking at longevity and, like, what can I actually wake up every day and enjoy doing? And that's going to give me the wealth that I want, not just financially, but also emotionally. Like, at the end of the day, like, I want to do something that feels like giving back, that gives people something. whether that's confidence, whether that's, you know, education, whether that's whatever it is, I want to be able to like actually tangibly help people. Because, you know, I really enjoyed like getting the feedback from the podcast and people saying, you know, you really helped me understand this thing that I'm going through, but I want to see it in a tangible manner, if that makes sense. So he really just, that decision of his to invite me to stay in his home for like a month and like to figure out my life really changed the trajectory of my life. And I was so lost, and I made that decision and I was like, all right, I'm going back to school. I'm applying for school. I applied for one fucking school, got in, started doing my prerequisites, worked my ass off to finish my prerequisites, did everything that I needed to make the cut to get in. Like, literally it was the second day of school and I was still working on prerequisites, and I finished them and I submitted them. And I was so terrified that I was going to finish this class. I had chemistry last. And I was so terrified that I was going to finish that chemistry class with a fucking F and not be able to do anything. And I finished with a B plus, bitch. I finished chemistry with a B plus. So, you know, it's like I work great under pressure. It's like a fucking pressure cooker. Put me in there. I'm making magic. I'm making diamonds, bitch. So working really great under pressure.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
But I, like I talked last week, I came into this really with my cup empty. And like one of the things that has frustrated me so fucking much since the start of this, I haven't really been dating. Well, I have. I dated one guy for like a longer amount of time, and then another guy that like I was just hooking up with him. A couple guys that I was hooking up with. It's fine. We're not talking about that. That's not the point. But I know that I have to lock in. Like, I need to lock the fuck in. But I think I've been so without rest for so long that it's really difficult for me. And I just went through so much emotionally at the start of this whole process that locking in is fucking hard. It is hard for me because my brain just wants to relax. And it's like, but all of these things that you have now is because you locked in so hard. And if you don't keep locking in, you're going to lose it all. And you're going to be in a very unfortunate circumstance. So you have to lock in. So like slowly I've been locking in a little bit more. The thing that is really fucking me up as of late is the fact that this mono is whooping my ass. I have mononucleosis, okay? I think I talked about this a little bit, but we're going to talk about this more now. I have mono. Mono attacks your fucking lymphatic system. It attacks all of your muscles. You're tired. You are exhausted. I am exhausted. I am tired all the time. Like, I get up to go from like one room to another, I'm tired. I raise my hand in class and my hand's up too long, I'm tired. I'm taking an exam and it's quiet for too long, I start fucking falling asleep. Like, I'm not okay. Like, I'm actually not okay. Like, I'm not good. Mama's not good, okay? So I have that. And I got it from the guy that I was dating for like 2 months. And what really frustrates me is like, this guy, you know, we low-key did everything right. You know how you're supposed to get tested. And a lot of times, if we're going to be honest, a lot of us do not do that, okay? Because we're like, no itching, scratching, or burning. Should be fine. No, you're supposed to get tested after every new sexual partner. But that seems just like a cumbersome thing. And I really, this is my proposition for a new startup, is at-home STD testing kits, okay? Like COVID tests, okay? So, but you know, whatever. Sometimes your emotions get away from you and you fuck somebody you weren't meant to. And the next thing you know, you wake up with chlamydia. Okay, not saying that that's ever happened to me, but if it did, don't be surprised. So anyways, so he had gotten tested. I had gotten tested. We were like, oh, we're doing everything so right. We're falling in love before we fuck. And this is going to be so good. And then this motherfucker gives me mono. Mono. He gives me straight up mono. And I have been in shambles for about 6 weeks now, okay? This mono has landed me in the urgent care 4 times. It has landed me in the ER 2 times. And I have gone through maybe 10 doctor's appointments, follow-up doctor's appointments, new medications, because everything that happens ends up causing something else. So the mono enlarges your fucking spleen. So I'm sitting over here thinking that my kidneys are blocked because I'm in fucking pain. The pain is radiating from my lower back to my spine, to my side, to my stomach, to my groin. And I'm like, what the fuck? Going to the doctor. Test me for kidney stones. No kidney stones. Don't know what it is because they're not reading my fucking chart to see that I have mono. And at this point, I'm not putting the pieces together either. Okay. So finally, I go to this doctor. And funny enough, we're skipping that part. But funny enough, he works where I'm going to work. And he's like, he reads the fuck out of my chart. He reads through that whole chart. And he looks at me. He's like, are you pregnant? I'm like, no. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, duh, sir, I've been in a hospital like a lot this month and they've tested me every time. He's like, well, we're just going to do it one more time. And I'm like, I'm so glad that you think I'm fucking and that you think I'm breedable. But I'm not pregnant. Okay? Not pregnant. Not pregnant, because why would we be pregnant? Okay. So he's looking at my chart and he's like, oh, he's like, you have mono. He's like, this explains everything. He's like, that pain in your back, that's your spleen. Your spleen is probably enlarged. And he's touching on my side and he's like, yeah, I can feel your spleen. And I'm like, why is that happening? Your spleen is supposed to be the size of, like, I don't fucking know, like a tiny little thing. It's not supposed to be that big. And he's like, yeah, no, yours is like 10 times the size because you have mono. And I'm like, fine. So he's like, that's why this is happening. He basically goes through each one of my symptoms and he tells me the pathophysiology of it all. Okay. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm going to the doctor for other things because I have a bunch of vaccinations I need to catch up on. And I'm trying to put an IUD in because mama not trying to have a baby. Okay. Miss Diva is not trying to have a little baby. So I go to the doctor and my doctor's like, wow, your blood pressure is really high. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no, it's like really high. And she's like, I've done your blood pressure a ton of times and like it's really getting high. She's like, you need to walk me through like your daily routine. Like, don't miss anything. I walk her through like every step of my daily routine and she's like, you're taking too much ibuprofen. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you're taking too much ibuprofen. I'm like, no, like I'm in pain all the time. Like my whole body is sore. Like everything aches and hurts. And she's like, I know, but you're taking too much ibuprofen and you're fucking up your liver. And I'm like, oh my God. At this point, I would have rather just that boy given me chlamydia. I would have been on an antibiotic for about 2 weeks and then been off and this would have been all over and I would have been fine. I am so annoyed. And I know what you're saying. This is a blaring red flag to stop dating while I'm in school. And it is. And you know what? A part of me agrees. I do agree. A part of me disagrees because a part of me is a fucking whore. But I do agree. I really do agree. Because you know why? I was sitting there thinking about this the other day. Sitting there thinking about it, thinking hard, using my big noodle. And I was like, you know, I lost my train of thought. That was crazy. Hold the fuck on. Hold the phone. I am actually so annoyed because I fully forgot the train of thought that I was going with. But okay, yes, it is a sign for me to stop dating while I'm in school. Oh, this is what I was going to say. It is a sign for me to stop dating while I'm in school. And I'm really happy because my new medication plummeted my sex drive. Okay. And let me make you laugh. It plummeted my sex drive. And recently, scream at me if you want. It's fine. Recently, I started talking to my ex again. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's fine. But the good thing is he doesn't live over here. He lives way on the West Coast. So we started talking again. And I was telling him about, you know, my whole mono contraction. And he asks me, which I was like, wow, no one's asked me that before. And I'm really surprised that you're the person to ask me this. He goes, do you? He's like, because now that your antidepressant has literally plummeted your sex drive and your mismatched sex drive was the reason why you and that guy broke up, are you upset that you didn't hold out a little bit longer with him? Because now you don't even have a sex drive. So technically now it's not a problem. I looked at him with so much betrayal because I was like, why would you say that? Why would you say that? I did think about that. And honestly, no, because I'm not upset about it because the distraction is gone. He's gone. And it's like, I need a clear mind. I need to be focused. And clearly, I'm not focused. Okay. So yeah. So I, you know, now I'm at like baseline. Now I have zero sex drive. I low-key feel betrayed by the species of men as if I didn't feel betrayed by them before. I feel extra betrayed. I would have rather gotten chlamydia. And I know chlamydia has a lot of side effects. But I'm such a hypochondriac, I feel like I would have been fine because I would have just taken the medicine that they gave me to. And I would have taken all the antibiotics every day that I needed to. And it would have been over by now. But now I have mono and there's no fucking end in sight. And like what really freaks me out is like, I ran into one of my teachers the other day and she was like, oh, like, why do you still sound like that? And I was like, oh, I was like, thank you for asking. I'm like, I still sound like this because I still have mono. And she was like, oh, my daughter had mono like her senior year of high school. She missed like half of the school year and she was sleeping like 18 hours a day. And she was like, if you need anything, like you let us know, like we'll excuse you. We'll give you a place to sleep in the school, like if that's what you need. Because she knows I'm in an accelerated program and like these teachers are really supportive, which is amazing. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't really want any special treatment because a lot of the special treatment includes time delays. So like taking your exam, like, you know, not at the same time as everybody else, which like elongates the process. And I'm like, I have a month and a half of school left until winter break, which I'll have a whole month off to sleep, to lay down, to rest, to do absolutely nothing. Like, I want that. Okay. I want that. I want that time. Like, and I don't want to like accidentally waste any of that time, use any of that time without meaning to and having to elongate the process and essentially causing myself even more anxiety than I already have now, like with the way things are going right now. So I just have just been so frustrated with this. And also like, I'm really sick. Like I'm just sick all the time and like people can see it on me and like, but it's also weird because it's like it's low key like a temporary chronic illness. And I know chronic means a long time, but most of the time, like chronic means more than a month or two. And it's like, this has been going on for like a month and a half. And it's like, it's not going to last forever, but it is going to last a couple months. And I'm sick of it. Like I hate this. So I'm like really just not in my boat right now. And also like, I don't know, like, I guess maybe I'm being too hard on myself and like, maybe I'm judging myself, but I do kind of feel the competitive of being in an accelerated program and everybody just wanting to know like what grade you got all the time and like all that stuff. And I'm like, I have never been a person that's like C's get degrees, but I'm really at this point, I'm like, honestly, if I get a C, I'm fine. Like, stop asking me how I'm doing. Know that I'm surviving. That's it. Like, I'm doing as good as I fucking can. Like, don't, please don't expect too much of me. Don't ask too much of me. Like, don't any of this too much of me. And like, and I think like, because I am on the older side, like, I have very well established boundaries. And like, some people can see that as like a sensitivity or like, I can see when I'm being rage baited and I've been getting rage baited a lot recently. I've been getting rage baited a lot. Okay. And I've just had to come to the conclusion that like, I can actually look somebody in the eye and be like, I'm not having this discussion with you. I have my opinion. I said my opinion and I will not be going back and forth with you over my opinion. And like, it's just been, I think sometimes like I forget what it's like to be around so many people all the time. And it is exhausting. It's fucking exhausting. Like to a level it is exhausting. And I feel myself wanting to contract back into like my lonesome self. But it's like, I don't want to because like I do have a really good community around me. But it's like, I'm just so exhausted already from being sick all the time that it's like all the extra stuff, like all the extra, like, I don't know, like politicking and stuff. Like I don't have that in me to be doing right now. Like I volunteered myself to do something. And like, I really had to sit there and think about it and be like, no, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. Like, I wish I could do this. I'm very disappointed that I can't. But I don't feel good enough right now to go after this thing that I really want to do because I feel like such shit. And it makes me so mad when I think about it because I'm like, it would be one thing like if me and that boy were going to run happily ever after into the fucking sunset. But like, I don't even fucking talk to him anymore. Like, let this be a testament to how men will literally ruin your life. They will come into your life, ruin it, and then walk away. Walk away. And I'm like, I hate you. Like, I actually, like, the more I think about it, the more I despise him. And I'm like, but I also despise myself more. But it's also like, damn, a bitch can't even kiss no more. Like, a bitch can't have a little peck and a pop. Like, what is going on? Like, I wasn't even popping my puss. Like, oh my God, I was not even popping my puss. I was literally, you know, a little kissy and like, really. I am so excited for the state of New York because they got a baddie in the governor's mansion. Okay. I have a few things to say about this. One, I'm so glad that Mom Donnie won because it is so, the shit that Muslim people have been through in the state of New York since 9/11, the stuff that Muslim people have been through in this country since 9/11, I am just so happy that the people, they got it right. A good thing happened for once, okay? The second thing that I find really interesting is like, it's like Andrew Cuomo didn't even want to win. Like, he made himself be so unlikable. So just like, what? Like, bitch, did you want to win? Like, the attitude was crazy. Crazy. And like, he was asking these voters to vote for them, but he was making it so clear that he like was disgusted by them. Okay, girl. Okay, girl. Anyways, so all of that is to say, you see what happens when the people can go out and vote. And not only that, but Georgia won 2 Democratic seats. West Virginia, one of them hoes, has a female governor now, okay? Let me make sure that I'm saying this information correctly. Okay, yes, I was. So this is a list of everything that we won, bitch. Okay, you ready? So we won the New York City mayoral race, the governor's race for New Jersey and Virginia, and California got Prop 50. Okay, so a lot of good stuff happens, and that's what happens when you take your ass out and you go vote, okay? And Mississippi, largely always Republican, has now shifted to being damn near mostly Democratic. So this is what happens when you go out and vote. We are in December of 2025, okay? You got time to talk to your family members, to the ones that want to be, oh, my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't count. Yes, it does, you stupid loser. Get off your ass. This is the time to start talking to them about this stuff now. Like, start showing them, like, oh, this is what happens when you get off your big fucking ass and you go vote, bitch. This is what happens. So all of those people, the contrarians, the non-believers, the whatnots, and just remind them because there's, I don't know what happens, but just like people get fucking amnesia when the election starts, like the actual presidential election cycle starts. They get fucking collective amnesia. They just forget all the terrible stuff that Trump did and they just start looking at him giggling. No, you better remind these people, like double down on how they're feeling, especially if they are federal workers, double down on how the fuck they're feeling. Explain to them why they don't have money right now. Like explain to them what is going on in the House and in the Senate that they do not have money right now. Explain to them why the government is shut down. Okay. Explain to them why. Okay. Remind them that ICE has not deported any of these murderers, criminals they're talking about. They are kidnapping people from daycares, literally. Okay? Remind them of these things. Okay? So I think it's super important to start having these conversations now. You have a year to flip your little, like, uncles and aunts and whoever, people that don't think it's important to vote, people that are voting on the wrong shit, people that have been completely like propagandized. Okay, you have time. This is the time to start with this shit now. You have a nice bit of starting momentum. Keep it going. Okay, keep it going. Besides that, though, moving on, I burped because I'm a girl and girls burp too. I don't know if you knew, but it's true. I did also want to spend the second half of this episode talking about Lily Allen. And before we start talking about Lily Allen, if you're expecting me to be like, whatever, whatever, she's a bad person, she cheated on her husband, whatever, whatever, you're not going to get that out of me. You're not going to get that out of me today, okay? You're not going to get it out of me. Because one of the things that I just need people to understand is that to be alive is to be a fucking hypocrite, okay? The way that I have seen these children moving on the internet, I think I said this last time, but some of these kids have more grace for reborn again neo-Nazi members than their peers or people that are just going through human emotions and doing human stuff, okay? One thing that I was talking to somebody about, oh, it was you, LOL. I was about to say, one thing I was talking to somebody about was that perspective is so crazy because people really exist in their perspective and they think they're right. And then you're in your perspective and you're like, bitch, you're dead wrong. And then somebody is in a third perspective and they're like, both of you hoes are wrong. Okay? So I'm not here to talk about who Lily Allen is, what she's done, whatever. I am here to solely talk about West End Girl and this album and how I feel that this album is so... It's such a good album for so many different reasons. Besides the storytelling, the music, the bop of it all, like, I feel like I'm in a rave. Like, I'm dancing, I'm sad. I'm dancing, I'm sad. I'm dancing, I'm thinking about my whole life. You know, I'm busting a move, I'm sad again. Like, I'm like all of those things, you know? But besides that, I have always said that the best lesson to learn is through a mistake that you did not make. The best lesson to learn is through a mistake that you did not make. You do not have to go through the hard stuff to learn from the hard stuff. You can watch people going through the hard stuff and learn from the hard stuff. Now, when the hard stuff appears to you, it may hit different. It may come in a different outfit, in a different wig, in a different makeup. It may come in all of those different looks, you know? But once you recognize, oh, I know somebody who made this mistake, this is what these patterns look like, you have a better chance of escaping it than people who just don't know, people who do not know what these signs mean. The signs that I'm talking about is narcissistic abuse. This album is a fucking point-by-point masterclass on getting into a relationship with somebody and what it looks like when they are gaslighting you, when they are coercing you and manipulating you into a different kind of relationship than the one that you signed on to. Okay? Now, there's a really big difference from this than sometimes people tell you exactly what it is at the beginning and we just don't believe them. We just don't believe them. Like a guy that's like, oh, you're too good for me. Like, you're just everything I've ever wanted. You're too good for me. He means that. He fucking means every word of that. And you are too good for him. Pack your shit up and leave. You know, maybe fuck him once or twice, but don't get attached. Leave. You know what I'm saying? I get it. We all want to have fun. I get it. I'm never going to judge you for that, girl. Okay? Never going to judge you for that. But this album is such a good masterclass of what it looks like. And I'm going to just talk through this with you because every time I listen to it, like I just peep something else that I did not even realize before. So the album is called Western Girl. It came out October 24th and it talks about her the relationship that she had with David Harbour. Sorry, that's the intro song. I'm just going to go through some of the lyrics, okay? And basically, I think she should really make this into a play because it's such a good storytelling, okay? So she talks about, in the first song, she talks about how they moved to a house and she moved to New York. She got a brownstone. It was a little bit more expensive than she would have liked. But, you know, she made it work because she, you know, she wanted this relationship. She wanted this relationship to work out. She wanted them to be happy. She starts thinking about how, like, she feels awkward because she feels like almost like she's not even living in her own skin almost. Because think about it. You're furnishing a house. You're feeling like you can't afford it. It's very hard to get comfortable in that place. So the most important thing that she says, though, in this song is then my phone started to ring. So I answered the call and they were like, hey, you got the lead in a play. You got to be back in London for rehearsals in May. And then later that evening, she said, how was my day? I said, I got some good news. I got the lead in a play. And that's when your demeanor started to change. You said I'd have to audition. I said, you're deranged. And I thought that that was quite strange. I also thought that that was quite strange, Lily, because I told you I got the lead in a play. And then you look at me and you say, you know, you still have to audition, right? But I already got it. Why would I need to audition? Why are you trying to diminish that I'm good enough for this? Sight unseen. So that part, that's like a little red flag. So that's really how it starts to go off. So now she's gone to London. She's living in this hotel. She's all by herself alone, okay? And he calls her. And at the end of it, it's this conversation between her and him, but it's just her side. And he's proposing that he wants an open marriage, okay? And she's basically asking, if that's what you need to do, then that's fine. You know, it makes me sad, but if it's just sex, it's okay. I just want you to be happy, okay? So that is like a little tame. Well, actually not tame. I feel like that's a lot not tame. But, you know, I don't know what their relationship was like before. Maybe they talked about being in an open relationship before. But that, to me, and all of that, the biggest red flag of that is not even him asking for the open relationship, because we don't know what their conversations look like before. It is him absolutely being like, you still need to audition. What? You think you're good enough to get it sight unseen? Girl, no, you need to audition. Meanwhile, she already got it and the ticket is booked, okay? So moving to the next song, which is Ruminating, which I love. This is like a club classic for me, okay? Stopping it right there because I don't want to get copyrighted. So basically this song, she's talking about how she's trying to sleep, but she's ruminating on these conversations. She's like thinking about the people that her husband is going to have sex with in this open marriage, okay? So the most important thing, okay, is this line. And she says it here. It's the most important line. She said, baby, won't you tell me that I'm still your number one? Because you're my number one. I told you all of this has been brutal. You told me that you felt the same. It's mutual. So they're having this conversation about being far apart. He's sleeping with different women. She's thinking about him sleeping with different women. She's saying that this is really hard on me because you're still my number one. Am I your number one? You haven't said that I'm your number one. Like, are these women replacing me? Like, yes, we agreed to this open relationship, but there's a lot of big feelings that come with this open relationship. And then this is when we really start to step into manipulation and coercion territory. This very line, he says, and then she says, and then you came out with this line, so crucial. Yeah, if it has to happen, baby, do you want to know? If it has to happen, baby, do you want to know? If it has to happen, baby, do you want to know? I don't know. I don't know. Okay? So if it has to happen is a crazy line because you have a choice. It doesn't have to happen. Like, he is acting like this, his need for sex just goes so far beyond his own control. Like it's like they're at the will of his sex drive. Okay? So at this point, she's like, what a fucking line. Like, that's insane. And she's like, I can't wait for him to get home. Because this conversation's way too big for a phone call. Like, this is insane. So skipping on to the next song, which I'm just pulling the most important things in here that I feel like are huge red flags. And I don't even have to really go on much further, like reading line by line, because what ends up happening next is he said that these relationships would only be about sex, that they would be with strangers, that he would pay money for it. Like, essentially, like, he'd be engaging in prostitution or escorts and whatever. So it wouldn't be him making full-on relationships with these other women. It would literally just be him having sex to fulfill his need while his wife is away. But what ends up actually happening is he was probably cheating with somebody already, and he just wanted to be more open about it and more free about it And he didn't want to be seen as the bad guy when he eventually dumped Lily to go be with this woman, okay? And she talks about all of this. She talks about finding the text messages on his phone, never feeling the need to sort through a man's phone, but she went through his phone and she went through his drawer and she found a receipt for Bergdorf's and all the money that he spent on this woman, all the trips that they took together. Like, she just kind of unravels this relationship that he's been having without her. And the thing that, like, is really crazy to me is, like, all of this masterminding, all of this plotting, all of this upside down back and forthing, he could have just dumped the lady. He really could have just broken up with her and said, hey, this isn't really working for me anymore. I think we should be with other people. Let's get a divorce. But he, like, essentially brought her through the ringer. And sometimes I think about it. And, like, when I was breaking up with that guy, I knew I wanted to break up with him. But I also wanted him to be the one to, even though I was insinuating, like, fuck. Whose little tut-tut is that outside? Like, that's crazy. Even though I was insinuating as fuck, like, telling him that I wanted to break up, I wanted him to be the one to say, like, let's break up. I agree we should break up. I needed him to say that because one thing about me is I know how men are and I know how certain men are. And I know a victim mentality when I see one. And I knew that I did not want him to be able to say that I broke up with him with, it was a surprise, it was a shock, it was this, it came out of nowhere. Like, no, I knew that I needed him to be man enough to know that he accepted the breakup in the terms that it was, and essentially that he set most of the terms. Were they terms that I low-key fed him? Yes. But I needed him to say it so that he didn't know, he didn't basically think that he had no choice in the matter, because he did have a choice in the matter. And I just think, I don't know, listening to this album and like the stuff that so many of my friends has been through, so many of the things that I've been through, it's just, I think sometimes, like, as women, like, we can't really give people more than one chance. Like, especially when it comes to men, especially when they're saying stuff like that. Like, and by one chance, I mean somebody says something crazy once and you're like, all right, that's strange. But you have to keep it at that strange and at the forefront of your mind. And for the next time that they do it, that you can add the pieces of what they are actually trying to tell you together. Because if you take it, like, instance by instance, like, you're constantly going to be gaslighting yourself into thinking, this isn't what they mean. This can't be what this person is telling me. But yes, it is exactly what this person is telling you. They are telling you the truth, but they are doing it in such a way so that they're essentially like breadcrumbing you this breakup and this heartache. And sometimes, like, it's just too late by the time that we see it. And I just think you should all listen to the album. Anyways, that's all I had to say. Agree with me or disagree, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, this was another little episode. This one was a little bit short, but that's okay. We'll be fine. I love you all so much. And hopefully Dad gets another visit next week. Okay, bye.
Free audio post-production. By Alphonic.com.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.